Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread, and after blessing it, broke it, and gave it to the disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." And a good day on this day before Maundy Thursday, this Wednesday, April the 16th, in the year of our Lord 2014. You're listening to Law and Gospel. I'm Tom Baker, your host. And this is also an opportunity if you want to phone in on any question concerning Holy Week. I'll try and answer it. Numbers in St. Louis are 821-0850. Toll-free long distance anywhere in North America, 1-800-730-2727. Now, we're not going to be live on the air tomorrow. It's going to be a repeat broadcast because I'm preaching a Maundy Thursday service at Emmanuel Olivet at 8:30 in the morning, and then I'm doing the same sermon at 7 o'clock that evening. So it's going to be talking about the Lord's Supper. And on a Friday, we're closed in the sense of not having any regular programs. We're going to be on the air with some Treor service. That's Good Friday, 3 hours, and other music to celebrate Good Friday. So the next live broadcast for Law and Gospel after today will be on Monday, the day after Easter. And we're going to be taking a look at a difficult passage when you first read it. But today I thought we would be talking about the distinction between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. We just heard Jesus talk about that giving out his body and blood was a new covenant. What's the Old Covenant? This is extremely important because I hear people saying that you don't really have to evangelize Jewish people who live under the Old Covenant because that's the way they were saved. And then, of course, Christians are saved under the New Covenant. Well, the only problem is the Old Covenant failed. It failed, yes. In fact, let me give you some distinctions between the Old and New Covenant on the basis of particular Bible verses. In fact, one of the best chapters in the Bible to take a look at these distinctions is 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And then in real depth, the book of Hebrews does a wonderful job in making distinctions between the Old and the New Covenant. But from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it talks about the Old Covenant. Moses was the minister, whereas the New Covenant, Jesus is the minister. Under the Old Covenant, it was, according to 2 Corinthians 3:6, a covenant of the letter, in contrast to a covenant of the spirit. In fact, 2 Corinthians 3:6 says that covenant kills, whereas the New Covenant gives life. In fact, literally, according to 2 Corinthians 3:6, makes alive. How did the Old Covenant kill? Well, according to Hebrews, the New Covenant is based on better promises. The best place to kind of look to see where the Old Covenant is Exodus chapter 20. This is where Moses and actually 74 people, including Moses, go up on Mount Sinai. But before they do that, they do a sacrifice of some animals and sprinkle the blood over the altar and over the people. And what do the people say? They promise to obey everything that God tells them. See, that's Old Covenant. That's the old agreement. God brings them in by grace, and they say they will stay in that covenant relationship by obedience. Well, you know how long that lasted. Anybody ever hear of the golden calf? That's right. Didn't last very long at all. So the Old Covenant actually kills because it kills your understanding that you're going to get to heaven by your obedience because you can't do it. In fact, 2 Corinthians 3:7, in contrast to 2 Corinthians 3:6, says the Old Covenant is a ministry of death. The New Covenant is a ministry of life. How would you like to have parents that only let you eat at the table or drove you to school or bought your clothes if you were perfectly obedient? You know how quickly you would like to get out of that household? Very, very fast. Yes, because it's a ministry of death to have such parents. In 2 Corinthians 3:9, it compares the old covenant to a ministry of condemnation versus the new covenant as a ministry of righteousness. The old covenant is a ministry written with ink, according to 2 Corinthians 3:3, whereas the new covenant is a ministry written with the Spirit of the living God. Well, what does that mean? Well, take a look at the Ten Commandments, written on stones by God, and do this and you will live. Do you hear the conditional promise? See, that's the big difference between the old covenant and the new covenant. The old covenant is based on conditional promises. You have to meet the conditions. Who meets the conditions? I sure don't. We confess with everybody else in the congregation, we're poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. In contrast to that written in ink, the new covenant is written with the Spirit of the living God. That is, the Holy Spirit grants you a faith that makes the promises from God unconditional. It's kind of like a proper love of parents towards children. Regardless of how often the children sin against the parents, break the rules, so forth, guess what? That love still is there. In fact, to complete it, the old covenant in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3 to 7, is a covenant written on stone in contrast to the new covenant, that it's a covenant written on the heart of man. Well, what a difference. In fact, probably the best chapter in the whole Bible to talk about this distinction is Hebrews chapter 8. And actually, what I'm going to read, a lot of that is from the Old Testament. God says, beginning with verse 8 in chapter 8, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah." Now, what we learn from Scripture, interpret Scripture, is he's really talking about the Holy Christian Church. That is the new house of Israel and the new house of Judah. This is very, very important because, as Romans 9 reminds us, there are two Israels, those of the flesh who glory in that they are related to Abraham, and those of the Spirit who recognize that they are part of the family of God because of Jesus Christ. Now, in case you are not really sure that God is comparing the new covenant to the old, listen to verse 9. "Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, for..." Okay, now, what is God going to say about that old covenant that makes it really bad? "For they did not continue in my covenant, and so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord." Now, this is really, really important, because the old covenant is something you had to continue in, and you had to do it by your obedience. The new covenant, on the other hand, is something that God continues you in. It's kind of like the difference between an employee and an adopted child. An employee really has to put out work. He better be successful or else he's going to get fired. Adopted children are never fired. Why? Because that is a relationship that is built on promises, both of the parents who adopted the child and the government. What does the child have to do to keep the adoption? Nothing. Now, there can be a time when the child will go to court and dismiss the adoption. That is possible when he becomes a certain age of accountability. But in reality, as long as that adoption is not challenged in court by the child, guess what? that adoption stays. Now, God has already said that the old covenant didn't work. So now what does he say about the new covenant? Verse 10, Hebrews 8, "For this is a covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts." See, that's in contrast to writing them on stone. "And I will be their God, and they shall be my people." Woo. You see, every religion in the world tries to make God their God. But in Christianity, God makes himself your God. In fact, that's found even in the giving of the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20. By the way, that Old Covenant is Exodus 24. I think I said Exodus 20 earlier, so I made a mistake. It's Exodus 24 where the blood is sprinkled over the people, and they say, all these things we will do. In Exodus 20, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Therefore, you will have no other gods before me." Notice what precedes the commandments, God declaring that he is their God. The only difference between the Old Covenant and New Covenant is under the Old Covenant, people had to keep their word, obey the commandments to keep God as their God. Whereas under the New Covenant, God stays as their God. There's no obedience necessary. There's a new paradigm in town. Through faith in Jesus Christ, one is part of the family of God. Through unbelief, one loses that relationship. And what is most important about the new covenant is verse 12. By the way, these are quotes from Jeremiah. "For I will be merciful to toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." I thought God was omniscient. How can he forget anything? Well, he doesn't. When he's talking about, "I will remember their sins no more," he's using the word remember in a different sense. He's talking about, like, when you remember somebody's birthday, it's not something you have in your memory, and that's where it stays. No, if you remember someone's birthday, it means that you are giving them a gift. That's what we're talking about here. When God no longer remembers your sins, it means he is not going to punish you for your sins. Why? Because Jesus Christ took upon himself your punishment. Wow. Let's go talk to Linda. Hi, Linda. You're on the air.
Hi, Pastor. The Old Testament, I know the high priest, he would take the blood and sling it on the people. You know, I feel like that's what happens to us every week. The blood of Jesus Christ, that's what gives us the relationship. And back in the Old Testament, the blood of the sacrifices, they were figures of the true. You know, they were figures of the promise, Jesus to come. And so the relationship with God was always through blood. You know, and right now, my only relationship to God is through the blood of Jesus Christ, the fellowship.
Yes.
The sacramental fellowship.
The book of Hebrews is very clear that none of the blood of the Old Testament ceremonial sacrifices took away sins. In fact, there's a wonderful chapter in Hebrews where it makes it very clear that that blood only purified the flesh so it could enter into worship. But the blood of Jesus purifies the spirit. In other words, where you now have a correct conscience. And that is a distinction made in the book of Hebrews, where none of the ceremonial laws ever took away your sins.
I know back in the Old Testament it says, without the shedding of blood, there is no atonement for the soul. And so I always, in my mind, I was thinking, well, say like us, we have the sacraments to be the figure of the true, to go back and say, this is what Jesus did for me. And I thought back then it was figure of the true, Jesus to come. They were trusting the Messiah to come is the way I looked at it. You know, the blood of those animals, you know, like in Hebrews, you know, his blood is, he shed his own blood, not the blood of goats. But, I mean, you know what I'm saying? I kind of thought back in the Old Testament, this is looking forward to the Messiah. These represent it.
No, that's exactly correct. In fact, the book of Hebrews shows that the animal sacrifices foreshadowed the sacrifice of the perfect high priest, Jesus Christ, who would not offer the blood of animals. Instead, he offered his own precious blood and carried it into the heavenly most holy place as a blood covering for all of our sin.
So it's always about the blood, isn't it?
When was the first time blood was shed? Do you remember?
I guess it was when Cain slew Abel.
Well, before. Remember Adam and Eve sinned, and they saw themselves as naked.
He made animal skins.
Yes.
To cover them. That's right. And that's, you know, that's beautiful, too, that Jesus covers us with his righteousness. And, you know, the beautiful, you know, when we look, and it just all tells the story, you know, all the way back and to us, and then every time we have our communion, we're telling the story again and remembering, this is how I'm saved. I'm covered by his blood. And this is why I have a relationship, not because I, you know, his law is written on our heart. But, you know, it's not by that I have a relationship with him. It's by his blood that I am adopted by blood, Jesus' blood.
Yes. In fact, Leviticus 17:11 says, and this is the Lord explaining to Moses, the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it for you on the altar to make atonement for your souls. So it was pointing forward, though, to that blood that would come, that would be the perfect atonement, and that was none other than Jesus himself.
It was always the blood of Jesus in. You know, God bless you, Pastor.
Thank you so very much for calling. Anybody else can call. St. Louis area, 821-0850. Toll free, 1-800-730-2727. So in Exodus 24, there was a shedding of blood, and it was sprinkled over the people. But the book of Hebrews makes that very clear, that that only purified the flesh, so they could come into the presence of God, such as the 74 people that went up on Mount Sinai, and they saw God, it says, and they ate with God. Well, guess what? In the new covenant, we eat God. We receive his very blood within us. It is the Holy Supper of our Lord. And that is a new covenant, because the key part is God now will no longer remember your sins. Now, how can he do that and still be a just God? Because the curse of the law is pretty clear. In the day that you sin, death is the result. Well, God fulfills the curse of the law by the substitute Jesus Christ, who took upon himself the punishment you and I deserved, so that in Christ we are cleansed from our sin. It is a huge difference. So I really appreciate Linda talking about the blood covering, because it's all through the Old Testament. No, the first shedding of blood was not Cain killing Abel. In fact, it was God killing an animal to clothe Adam and Eve. And by the way, the Hebrew talks about that he covered Adam and Eve, which, by the way, is a word that also refers to forgiveness. In fact, we find that Abel, before he was killed by Cain, in Genesis 4, verse 4, also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions to the Lord. And it says the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. And who can forget the greatest sprinkling of blood upon the doorways of the Hebrews when they were in bondage in Egypt? It's called the Passover. And it doesn't surprise me at all that God would use the night of the Passover to inaugurate the new covenant, which is based on better promises, according to Hebrews, and of course, blood that takes care of you not only in your flesh, but also in your spirit, so that you can have a good conscience. Well, why do you have a bad conscience? Well, a bad conscience is worried about the punishment you'll receive for something you've done wrong. You know, you get worried about that. A good conscience, it comes about because there is no punishment you're going to receive, because Jesus had received it for you already. You'd like to call about any of this, it's 821-0850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. We're kind of looking at part of a message I'll be delivering at Emmanuel Olivet tomorrow morning at 8:30. That's why we're not going to be live on the radio tomorrow. And also in the evening at 7 o'clock for Monday, Thursday, we're going to be talking quite a bit about Monday, Thursday. In fact, I'm going to begin by saying when I was a kid, I couldn't understand why they called it Monday, Thursday. Couldn't they make up their mind? Did it happen on Monday or did it happen on Thursday? And we're going to explain, of course, that the word Monday is actually from the Greek, mandatum, where we get the word commandment. So what Monday, Thursday is the night of the new commandment. And precisely, the one new commandment Jesus gives outside his body and blood is, you've heard it said that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. The new commandment is, love your neighbor as I have loved you. And there you got to go to like Philippians, where Jesus humbled himself and he had more concern for the people than he had for himself. His greatest concern, of course, as is quite obvious, was the concern he had for his father. Because in that concern, he brought to his father the blessings of dying for the sins of the world. This was a plan the Holy Trinity made before the foundation of the world, according to Ephesians chapter 1. And it was a plan indeed that is quite obvious. Now, the readings for Monday, Thursday, by the way, come from Exodus 24, where the Old Covenant was inaugurated. Moses sprinkling blood over the people, over the altar. The people said, we will obey all these things. And of course, that failed. The other reading is from Hebrews chapter 9 that I've been using here to talk about the distinction between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And then Matthew 26, where Jesus talks about this is the blood of the covenant. And a lot of people, I'm quite sure they just don't really understand what Jesus means by the Old and the New Covenant. Because another word for covenant is testament. And this is a big problem with some people on Law and Gospel. They think that the law is found in the Old Testament books and the Gospel is found in the New Testament books. No, Law and Gospel are found in both set of books. And in fact, are you ready for this? The term for covenant in the Hebrew and the Greek, when it's used, which can be translated as covenant or testament, like my last will and testament, guess what? It never refers to the books of the Bible. It always refers to the two kinds of relationships that God had set up. The old covenant was set up to drive you to the new covenant. Because the more you recognize you cannot perfectly obey the will of God, the more exciting it is to hear the gospel, which talks about you don't have to. Because the promises are unconditional. This is why so many people cannot be Christians. It just doesn't make any sense. Because this never happens in real life. Where you're really mean to somebody, they don't like you, but they give you unconditional promises and many benefits. Well, when's the last time you ever heard that occurring? And that's why the new covenant is a thing of the Spirit. Because apart from the Holy Spirit, it never makes any sense. You're going to have visitors in your Monday, Thursday service, perhaps relatives visiting folks who are going to church, and they're going to hear the words, take, eat, this is my body. Take, drink, this is my blood. They don't see Jesus up there. They just see a morsel of bread and a sip of wine. Because apart from faith, they can't understand this. Therefore, How do we bring people to faith? We bring them to faith by means of law and gospel. We present them with the law where they recognize, boy, I cannot meet the demands of God. And then we give them the gospel where all the demands are met by God and then transferred over to them. It's called the glorious exchange. And as Pastor Wes Reimnes was telling us, when he shared that in an adult instruction recently, people said, I had never heard this before. And they were very joyed at over it and went home and even studied more about it. The gospel is just such wonderful good news. And that new covenant gospel is taking place on Maundy Thursday, the day when a new commandment to love one another as I have loved you. So, tomorrow's going to be a repeat broadcast, and I think you'll enjoy it. And then Friday, there's going to be different programming on doing Good Friday. And then we'll be back on Monday. And what are we going to be looking at? We're going to be looking at a passage where the government is disobeyed by the apostles. How can that be? I thought the government was set up by God. We're going to be taking a look at that on Monday from Acts chapter 5. I'm Tom Baker. Till our next live broadcast then on Monday, God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.